So in Gita, Krishna explains that he's a fair player. There's a verse in Gita which explains how Krishna, he always pays back. So Krishna's not a debtor. Krishna doesn't owe any debts to anyone. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly, right? So you give me, I give you, right? So you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So there's no debt there. Krishna's saying, I reward you accordingly. I pay you, I give you. But so that's the standard of Krishna, Narayan Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, Dwarka Krishna. Dwarka Krishna is Kurukshetra Krishna, Arjuna Krishna, Parthasarathi in the battlefield. So he's a fair player. He doesn't run up any debts. But he left a string of debts. He left a string of unpaid bills in Vrindavan. It says there in Bhagavatam, Napariham. Because I can't pay. So Krishna, the gopis made Krishna a liar. Krishna says, I'm not indebted to anyone. Right? You surrender, I pay you back. So the gopis surrendered. No one was more surrendered than the gopis. No one was more dedicated in giving to Krishna than the gopis. But he couldn't, they proved him wrong. Their love was so intense that he ran up a huge debt, huge bill. That's why he left town. When you run up a big bill, usually you run away. You run away from that town. If you have a lot of creditors are after you, then they say, oh, where has he gone? Oh, I don't know, I think he's gone to England. You know, so they can't catch you.
Yes.
So Krishna ran up a huge bill to gopis and he ran away. He ran away to Mathura and then he ran away to Dwarka. He absconded with all their love. So he becomes a debtor. And this is nice. Some article by Gauravinoda Swami explains Krishna's debt to the gopis. He says it himself. He says, I can't pay you back. The gopis have given up everything. But at the same time, they don't have any thought that Krishna is God. They don't understand that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, Sarvakarana Karanam. They just think, oh, he's a handsome boy of our village. He's a Brajchora, and we're Brajchoris. It's natural that a Chori and a Chora should fall in love, right? So they only know Krishna, Kanu, Nanda Nandan of Brajabhumi. He's their life, their object of love. He's their everything. So with that type of love, the gopis were able to give up everything to Krishna. So you never, and no matter what scriptures you may read, you can never find an example of renunciation like the gopis. Like people may renounce food, and they live on one chickpea every 6 months, but they don't renounce their varna. They're a kshatriya and they're doing austerities to realize God. Like Dhruva, he didn't renounce. He understood he was a kshatriya and kshatriya boy, performing these austerities to get his fulfillment of his material desire for a bigger kingdom than his father, King Uttanapad. But the gopis, they really renunciate. They're the greatest tyagis because they gave up everything. They gave up their varna, the varna dharma, their ashram dharma, their name, their fame, their shame, everything. Like someone may take up the path of yoga and be very renounced and austere and be a vairagi, but he doesn't give up his name. He's very attached to his name. You know, wouldn't want anything to tarnish his name. He's famous as a great vairagi or a great sadhu bhava. So then that's attachment to his name or his fame. But the gopis, there, people look at them and say, oh, these gopis, they ran away from their husbands. They're running in the forest. They have very questionable behavior. So they didn't care anything. So you say you can't find anywhere renunciation like the gopis. It's incomparable. The gopis' love was so expansive and extensive that Krishna was forced to break his promise. Because in Gita he says, you surrender, I reciprocate accordingly. I reciprocate with you. But he was not able to reciprocate accordingly with the Brajagopis. So outside of Vrindavan, Krishna never becomes a debtor and he always pays his debts. But in Vrindavan he said, I'm bankrupt. I am bankrupt. I'm Lakshminath, but here I'm nobody. I'm a bhikshu, I'm a beggar. The gopis broke that promise. Because the gopis don't want anything, so how can Krishna repay them? That's interesting. Like someone borrows some money, said, "Oh, so I owe you money." No, you don't have to pay me anything. I don't want that money. So the gopis, it's a very interesting point. It says the gopis don't want anything, so how can Krishna repay them? If they have some intention, some desire, then Krishna could have repaid them by fulfilling their desire, or satisfying their intention. But the gopis don't want anything in return. Therefore, Krishna's promise is broken. The gopis don't want swarga sukh, bhukti sukh, mukti sukh, siddhi sukh, seva sukh. They don't want the happiness of going to heavenly planets or sense enjoyment or liberation or mystic powers or even the happiness of serving Krishna. They don't want anything, so how will Krishna give anything to them? How will he repay them? Because they don't want anything. So Krishna's promise of Gita has been broken by the gopis. There are three reasons why Krishna's promise has been broken. First reason, that his promise that he pays back, that he'll pay back his devotees. This is, the gopis don't want anything in return. That's the meaning of selfless love. They don't want anything. Not even their own happiness and enjoyment. So Krishna has nothing to give them. He want nothing. I'm in debt to you because I've taken so much from you. I've taken so much love, so much dedication, so much affection, so much service. I know that. I'm aware of it. And so much happiness I derive from you. Now I've taken it all from you, so I'm indebted. I owe you. If I take so much money from you, then I'm indebted to you. Right? And Krishna knows from his side that he's taken so many things from the gopis. And then he's thinking, well, I have to repay them. It's okay, I've taken a lot from you, so I want to repay you. No, we don't want anything. Take everything, but we don't want anything in return. So then he can't pay back, they don't want anything. Give everything, ask for nothing. That's the gopis' motto. Give everything to Krishna and ask for nothing. Usually, the motto of the materialist is, take everything from Krishna and give nothing. Oh, God, give me this. God, give me that. God, give me this. God, give me that. Oh, yeah. And by the way, God, there's one more thing. Can you give me a new car also? So this is an interesting paradox. For the materialist, it's take everything from God and give nothing but your troubles. Give God your troubles. Give God your problems. Give God your complaints. Give God your petitions. Give God your desires. And take all fulfillment from him. The gopis' motto is, give everything to Krishna and ask for nothing in return, and take nothing in return. Interesting, right? Give everything to God, give everything to Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and take nothing in return. Now who would want to do business like that? Would anyone want to conduct a business like that? Give everything to your customers and take nothing from them. Then what happens? You go out of business, no? You run out of stocks. You give everything away and you have no money to buy new materials. How do you produce stocks? Right? Now the gopi stock is not material. It's spiritual. It's love. It's unlimited. The more they give, the more they get. So the gopi says, give everything and take nothing. This is transcendental business. Give everything to the customer and take nothing for yourself. Draw no profit. So that's the first reason why Krishna's promise to repay his devotee is broken, because you can't pay someone something if they don't want anything. I want to give you some money, I don't want. Then what will you do? I want to do some service, I don't want. I want to give you a gift, I don't want. Then what? So that's the first thing, the gopis don't want anything. The second reason is how the gopis make Krishna break his promise. He said the gopis only have one desire, to please and give happiness to Krishna. They have no other desire. They only desire for the pleasure and happiness of Krishna. When one wants to give all pleasure and happiness to Krishna, then what does he or she have to do? One has to give up his own happiness. When someone gives everything, then the one who accepts becomes indebted. And how will he pay them back? So they have one desire, just to please him. Third reason is the gopis' attention is single-pointed only on Krishna. So one thing is they don't want anything. Their only desire is Krishna's happiness. And the third is that they're only one thing on their mind, only Krishna. Krishna's attention is multi-pointed because Krishna is a reservoir of all mellows. He reciprocates appropriately with all types of bhaktas. So he says, as you surrender and serve me, I reciprocate and serve you. I respond and reciprocate and reward equally in return. So many gopas are serving him, so he's reciprocating, giving them something back. His mothers. So his attention is spread over all these devotees, and parental devotees, and Vatsali Ras, and friends in Sakya Ras, and servants in Dasya Ras. And the gopis have no other friend, no other master, no other mother, no other father. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Pran. These are everything. So they're all only one they think about and act for and serve and please and remember and feel for is Krishna. So they're single pointed, ekagrita. So Krishna reciprocates appropriately with all kinds of bhaktas, Shanta bhaktas, Dasya bhaktas, Sakya bhakta, Vatsalya, Madhurya. So his attention is multi-pointed, it's fragmented. So it's broken when he sees the love of the gopis. Krishna says, Napara Parayeham, I am completely indebted to you, I cannot pay you back because you do not want anything, what shall I do? How did Krishna solve this dilemma? For these three reasons, Krishna's promise was broken. So now how did he actually solve this problem of paying back the gopis? He had a debt, so they're doing something. He's telling them to do something, but what about him? He's the one with the debt. If I owe you some money, I can't just tell you to do something. I have to do something, pay you back the money. Isn't it? I can tell you, forget about the debt, you know. He said, no, that's not the way you pay back. Preach to the guy to tell him, forget about it. He became Gauranga. To pay back his debt to Radharani and the gopis, Krishna became Gaura, assuming the mood of Radharani. Now he is paying back that debt by crying for Krishna. As Radharani is crying, feeling acute pangs of separation from Krishna, this is Gaura. It's Krishna feeling the exact moods of Radharani. As Radharani is crying and crying and drowning herself in the unfathomable ocean of separation, Gaura is burning himself in the fire of separation from Krishna. He is always crying and crying and talking like a madman. Just as Radharani was crying and talking like a mad woman. The symptoms of madness in Gaur and Radharani are exactly the same. That is why Mahaprabhu relished the songs of Vidyapati, Chandidas, and Jayadev in the association of Rai Ramananda and Swarup Damodar. Krishna is forever indebted to the Raja Gopis. So we were mentioning a little bit earlier about the meaning of darshan. So we have a subjective viewpoint of what is darshan and an objective viewpoint. From our viewpoint, and Krishna's, we're the subject and Krishna's the object of our vision. Oh, did you see the deities? Did you go to the temple today? You saw the deities? And then the other way to look at it is Krishna's subject and we're the object. We're going to be seen. We are not the seer, we are the seen. In subjective view, we're the seer and God is the seen. God is transcendental and spiritual, and we're not. We're material, so we can't be the seer, but we can be seen. We can be seen. So then Krishna becomes the subject, and we become the object of his glance. So darshan means to be seen, to be seen by the Lord. Did you give darshan to the Lord today? Did the Lord glance favorably at you? This is told in Bhaktisanta Saraswati's writings. The common person, he he thinks that word darshan means to go to a temple and or a place of worship and see the deity. Bhakti Sunatha says this is wrong. There are two concepts, the seer and the seen, the drashta and drishta. So we're conditioned souls covered by maya, so it's impossible for us to actually see Krishna. We don't have the ability. How do we get the ability to see Krishna? Premanjana charita. Bhakti vilochan, the eye of devotion. And not only that, we have a devotional eye. By surrendering to Guru and serving Krishna, we have somewhat of an eye of devotion, but it has to have some ointment put in it. Because there's Vaidhi Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. So Krishna is an abode of Prema. He's a Prema Sarup. So Bhakti Lochan is not enough. Kanishtha Adhikari has a Bhakti Lochan. He has an eye of devotion. He can see that, he sees with the understanding, Sambandha Gyan, that the deity is Krishna. That's as far as he can see. He can't see the deity in anyone's heart, or he can't appreciate the deity in the heart of the devotees. Madhyam vision, madhyam, middle vision. So he has some bhakti vilochan, some eye, because the one who doesn't have any bhakti lochan, the non-devotee, the materialist, when he comes in a temple, what does he see? Hey, what is his idol? Some marble statue. You're heathens, you're devil worshippers. He has no devotion. He doesn't see that this is a vigra or the deity of God or Krishna. He says some pagan worship. He has no eye. But the specific eye to which we see Krishna, we can actually see Krishna as prema. When the eye of devotion is developed to the point of love of God, pure love of God, prema anjana, that ointment of prema, then we can actually see the Lord. So Krishna is the seen and we are the seer, but we can't see Krishna until we become purified. That verse also describes that idea. Ataksri Krishna Namani Nabhaved Graham Indriya Sivamukhe Jivada Swayamai Vasparatyada Ataksri Krishna Namadi. Right, but we can see Krishna by the name. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tells us that we should not go proudly to the temple of the Lord and stand before the deity of Radhaparta Sarati or Radharas Vihari or Radhashamsundar. Stand proudly in front of the deity, then try to measure and examine the Lord with our mundane vision. Oh, look, this deity's only so tall. Not very big. This deity's not very big. This small deity. And then, is this deity really Krishna? To measure and to inspect. He said, we should go in humbly and present ourselves before the Lord for the Krishna to inspect us, to inspect our quality of our service, to inspect the quality of our bhajan and the quality of our devotion. Everything that exists in both the spiritual and material worlds exists for the purpose of being seen by Krishna for his pleasure. Therefore, if Krishna closes his eyes and no longer casts his merciful glance, a devotee considers that all the worlds have become truly dark. It's talking about darshan. What is the principle of darshan? Seeing the deity. Krishna is the... He is usually the seen and we are the seer. It's called subjective reality. I am the subject and you are the object of my gaze. But the real attitude is that we are to be... That Krishna is subjective reality, spiritual reality, is that Krishna is a subject and we're the object of his gaze, his inspection. We go before the deity for him to see us. He's the seer, we're the seen. And we should go there with a mood not to measure Krishna or weigh Krishna. Oh, he looks so good or this or that. Or we should go in a very humble mood of devotion, go to take darshan or give darshan, let's say, or go to have darshan of Krishna in this mood of humility that we're submitting ourselves before the Lord's, for the Lord's inspection or examination. He's examining the quality and inspecting the quality of our devotion, quality of our bhajan, and the quality of our, what is it, the depth and purity of our own devotion, our devotion, our dedication. It's a daily exam, like we go to the hospital for an executive checkup after 50 years. Physical exam, physical inspection. We get assessed, measured. So this is the darshan implies this. Not the ordinary common person's conception that darshan means to go to a temple and see the deity. And from the viewpoint of Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati, this is incorrect. We go to the temple and we take darshan of the deity, but specifically to be revealed, to be unveiled, to be exposed. We expose ourselves to the deity. We expose our minds, we expose our hearts, we expose our devotion as we stand there and pray for rectification, we pray for purification, and we pray for elevation. Well, there's a nice point that everything in this world and the spiritual world exists for the purpose of being seen by Krishna for His pleasure. Very nice point. What was the point I was saying, that most people approach God to take something from Him and give nothing. Right, that was the earlier point about the gopis and gopis' mood. They just want to give everything to Krishna. They don't want to take anything. So he can't. There's no debt. Krishna's indebted because he's taking everything from them, all their love, all their service, all their dedication. But when Krishna goes to repay them, because he says, "I promise to repay," he can't repay. So the gopis make Krishna break his promise of Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ye tamam prapadyante tam sadaiva bhajamyam mama vart manavartante manasha parta sarvasha. All of them, as you surrender unto me, as you serve me, I reciprocate with you, I repay you. But then the gopis, he says something, that's Gita, that's for everyone. That's for everyone outside of Vrindavan. That's for everyone in Vaikuntha. That's for everyone in the material world. That's for everyone everywhere. But in Vrindavan, Krishna has a different tune. He has a different shloka. He says, Napariyeham. Gopis, I can't repay you. I can never repay the debt I owe to you. For three reasons. One is that the gopis, they have no desire. They have no desire to fulfill. Their only desire is to please Krishna. The other thing is they don't want anything from Krishna. They don't want anything from Krishna. And the third reason why Krishna can't pay back his debt to the gopis is that the gopis are the truest yogis, the greatest vairagis, the greatest renunciates, because they gave up their varna dharma, ashram dharma, their name, their fame, their shame. They gave up everything for Krishna's happiness. So the third reason why Krishna can't repay his debt to the gopis is because the gopis are the truest expressions of this principle of ekagrata, one-pointedness. They're completely fixed. Every single gopi is completely fixed on Krishna. Krishna is their mata, pita, bane, bhai, everything. Mother, father, pati and pita and all these things. So, but Krishna's, his love is spread over many types of devotees, shanta bhaktas, dasya bhaktas, Sakya Bhaktas, Madhurya Bhaktas. So he can't be one-pointed only for the gopis. He's for everyone. He's for all the coward boys and all the cows and all the mothers and all the so many parties of gopis. So these are the reasons for the gopis. So any questions about darshan?
Darshan basically begins, Lord's darshan begins at the stage of prema.
Yeah, in terms of Saksha Darshan.
Because until then we are Vishaya of Krishna's and Krishna's Ashraya. Because
at that time.
At that time.
Before then were the Krishna the object of our love.
Yes.
It goes back and forth. When we're, you know, it's in Krishna's realm of Vishaya and Ashraya change depending on who's bothering who.
Yes.
Who's serving who. When Krishna's reciprocant of the love, then he's the Vishaya. Or the reservoir of the love which has been just given to Jiva or the devotee. Generally, the Jiva or the devotee of the Lord is in the position of Prema Ashraya, the reservoir and shelter of the love. When Krishna's loving relationship is such that he always exchanges and gives what he receives or more. So then we become the Vishaya, the object, and Krishna becomes the shelter. We receive Krishna's love. Situation over there. So this is Krishna's, how Krishna's controlled by Radharani's love. Krishnara samatta haite bhara bhakta pad. Position of being a devotee is higher than that of equality with Lord Krishna. When you think about the Mayavadis or Brahmavadis, they want to merge with the Lord. Tattvamasi, I am that. Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. So they think that that's the greatest thing, to become one with God. They think that's the greatest achievement. Because if you become Krishna's bhakta, devotee, you become even greater than God. So they have the Mayavadis have a lower concept. They just want to be God. But devotees, because they're surrendered, they become more than God. That's Krishna's arrangement. If you become intimate devotee of Krishna, then Krishna makes you greater than himself.
Guru is empowered by Krishna to be more than him.
Yeah, he does what the Lord can.
Be more merciful than the Lord, more compassionate.
Yeah, it's a different area of influence than Krishna. Krishna spreads his influence to the conditioned soul through the form of the guru. Otherwise it looks like a conflict of interest. If he becomes directly involved with the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are trying to approach God and Krishna. So then he's the object of our endeavor. He's the object of our yoga abhyas. He's the object of our sadhana. Purushartha is the artha, the object, the attainable goal and value and wealth objective for the human being. Purushartha, prem purushartha, pancho purushartha, dharmart kam prem, dharmart kam moksh prem. So this is the panchama, the fifth goal of human life, eternal goal, unchangeable goal, fully satisfying goal. Paramgati, the topmost goal. So Krishna, he has to reserve himself. He can't come and show us how to attain him. He has to come in the form of guru. There is a delegation of the Lord. So in Gita, Krishna tells Matat Pratanam Nanyat Kinshidasti Dananjaya Mahisrava Idam Proktam Sutri Madhigana Iva. He says, everything, there's nothing superior to me. There's no one, he says, there's no one superior to me. Everything is strung upon me like pearls on a thread or whatever. Everything hangs on me, is supported by me, controlled by me, sustained by me. Krishna's saying there's no one superior to him, but this is false. So he's telling this to Dhananjaya in the Bhagavad Gita, to Arjuna, winner of wealth. He's saying, matta asamat, you know, matta pratram nanyat. He says, nanyat. No one else is higher than me. So, okay, Arjuna said, all right, sounds all right. But actually, this is a lie. That Krishna's cheating. Who's more superior to Krishna?
Bhakta.
The bhakta. The devotee is greater. How so? Because his devotees like Subal or Sridham, they can bind him up or tie him up or climb up on his shoulders. Yashodamata bound Krishna and Sridham climbed up on Krishna's shoulders. This is Bhaktivatsalya, the affection of devotees. The Bhagavatam in Uddhava Gita tells how dear Krishna's devotee is. Krishna tells Uddhav, Na tata me priyatama atma jonir nashankara na cha sankarshano na shir naivatma cha yata bhavan. Uddhava, you are not so dear to me. Lord Brahma is not so dear. Shankar Shiva is not so dear. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, she's also not very dear. Balaram is not dear. Naivatma, I myself am not so dear as you are dear to me. So the question can be asked, who is greater? The Lord or his devotee? Obviously the devotee. If you become a devotee, then Krishna will make you greater than he is. He's saying, no one's more dear to me than even my own self. Uddhava, because Uddhava's a devotee. He's in Dasyaras, Sakyaras. So he's more dear, Krishna's saying, you're more dear than me. Devotee's more dear than his own self. Of course, Krishna is cause of all causes. He's full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Ishvara Panama Krishna, Sachidananda, Nadiyadra Govinda, Sarvakarna Panama. So although he's the supreme controller, he's also bound up by the love of his devotees. He's under the control of his devotees.